Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the third Sunday of Lent.
It's that stage again in Lent. We're reaching the halfway point. Perhaps we've already given up on our Ash Wednesday good intentions. Maybe we've compromised them a little, or just maybe we're feeling the pinch of the difficulty of keeping them up. It's important to remind ourselves why we do give things up. We do it to restrain our wayward passions, to unite our sufferings with Christ's own sufferings in his 40 days in the wilderness and on the cross. They have power when they're united with Christ. We do this in order to prepare for Easter, for the feast, just as you might stop eating in order to prepare for a great meal that you're having in the evening. So we fast in order to celebrate the feast. There are many reasons, but I want to suggest that above all, we perform these acts of abnegation to realize that God is offering us a gift that far surpasses our natural appetites, indeed, our natural thirst. Yes, there's a lot today in the readings about thirst. The Israelites thirsty in the desert, thinking only of the physical. And in the Gospel we meet the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, who's interested in the living water that our Lord speaks about. Thirst expresses our desire. We all know that feeling when it's very hot and we're parched, or we wake up during the night needing a drink of water, or we've been doing sport and we're desperate for some liquid. Our Gospel speaks of Jesus and thirst. He has a very unusual encounter with this Samaritan woman. Unusual not simply because she is a woman or a Samaritan, and that would be unusual enough, but because Jesus doesn't really need to ask her for a drink. Is this story just about Jesus quenching his natural thirst? No. What he is really thirsting for is her soul, for her faith. You see, God really thirsts for us, but we don't always realize it. He's passionately interested in us, in our faith, in our response, but he will never force it. Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross for our sins, for love of us, again spoke of thirst. He cried out, "I thirst." He was thirsting for our response, for our souls, for our salvation. Again, remember Mother Teresa, how deep she understood this mystery of the cross. In every house she founded, she placed a crucifix in the chapel on the bare wall with the words, "I thirst." The problem is that we don't really get it. We're like the woman, only living on the physical, natural plane of desire and thirst. It's the practicalities of life that preoccupy us. We have no obvious natural desire for religion. We can easily ignore God and just look on the streets of any town or city of our country. There are thousands of people who are able to ignore God for whole periods of their lives. But if we only knew what God was offering, we would ask him for a drink. If we only knew the gift of God, he would give us living water that would satisfy all our desire, all our thirst. The living water is grace. Living water, not stagnant water, moving, continuing. It's linked to its source, God, who is unending. In the Old Testament, we read about this fountain of living water. It's God himself. Jeremiah tells us that. In Psalms too, we often hear about the running streams. Think of that psalm, "As the deer yearns for running streams, so my soul is thirsting for you, my God." If we could only get this point, it's a key spiritual doctrine that runs like a golden thread all the way through the scriptures. The woman is interested in getting her bucket filled, her material, limited, earthly bucket of desires. We're all carrying them round with us. We have them filled with our petty power, our possessions, our pleasures. We fill them and we fill them and we fill them, and we consume them and we consume them and we consume them. And they don't really quench our deeper thirst nor our deeper desire, and we start over again, and we're never fully satisfied. And this is the story of our lives, and we're carrying these buckets around with us, believing the lie that our life is defined by the filling of them, by the consuming of them, and then the filling them again. To really get out of this cycle, I want to suggest to you that we kick the bucket, not in the conventional sense. I mean, like the woman, we hear that she leaves the bucket behind. She's discovered the living water that can't be held there. She's discovered what really matters, Jesus Christ. And this makes her a powerful evangelist too. If we only knew the gift of God and what his life would bring us, the fountain would well up within us and last forever. It's infinite. It surpasses everything we can hope for. And the saints themselves are the proof of this. And they aren't interested in that bucket of natural desires and possessions, and yet they're happy. Jesus knows that the woman has lived for the flesh. She's had 5 husbands. Interestingly, to meet at a well is the typical place in the Old Testament for finding a husband. Jesus says to her that the one with her now is not her husband. Now, that could simply mean the latest man who she dwells with, but in a deeper way, it could mean himself. These words have a mystical meaning. St. Augustine tells us that the 5 husbands stand for the 5 bodily senses, and she's lived for these senses all her life, and she's always been thinking about satisfying them. Now, Jesus can be her spouse if only she will leave that obsession behind with the earthly matters. Not that we don't need to eat or drink or have a certain amount of possessions, but it's a matter of where our heart is. Jesus calls her to be his spouse, not in an earthly way. He desires to be the spouse of her soul. Yes, that's it. That's the key message. To move away from the merely material to the living water of life. And just as that is the journey of every Christian in Lent, it is the reason for all our negations, all our fastings, all our penances. In the Mass, we are to be brought into direct, real encounter with the same Jesus who spoke to the Samaritan woman. He will offer us today the living water, and we're called in the same way to leave behind our bucket of earthly desires, and instead to become united with him, with the bridegroom. Happy are those who are called to his supper, the wedding supper of the Lamb.